So our gospel story today is one that we could call One Bride for Seven Brothers. It starts with some Sadducees trying to trap Jesus with this absurd twisting of the law. Now, one of the questions they don't raise is, what is it about this woman that she's married seven times and all these husbands die? Sounds kind of like an interesting plot line for a Law and Order episode to me. Regardless, the Sadducees were the sect of Jews who did not believe in a resurrection of the dead. They figured life here is all you get. So what they believed is, if you're good, if you follow all the rules, God will reward you with health and riches. So for them, the biggest blessing was to live to an advanced age and to die really rich. That was a sign of God's blessing on you for being so good. Now, of course, the extension of that was that if you were poor or disabled or suffered, that it was God's punishment on you for breaking the rules. Guess who wrote those laws? Yeah. The ones who could afford to keep them. So here they are, pretending to be all religious and pious, asking questions about what heaven is like. But what they're really trying to do is twist their rules to trap Jesus by extending their laws to their absurd limits. So there's a Jewish law that says if a man dies, his brother is required to marry his widow. Now, it was a well-intended law because thousands of years ago, women couldn't work, they couldn't own property. So if they were widowed, if they had no man in their life, they would die. But these guys pushed it to its absurd limits, trying to prove to Jesus there's no afterlife. So they had the rules and laws, and they ended up using them to effectively limit God. This did not stop with them. Before I came to serve in this congregation, I worked in a two-point country church, two congregations, one pastor, out in southwest Wisconsin, south of La Crosse. And the churches were these white frame buildings you see on Christmas cards, right? And they both had cemeteries right outside the church building. Every spring, the Saturday before Easter, the men in the congregation would come and spruce up the cemetery and make it look really nice for Easter. And one Saturday, Easter Saturday, I'm walking into the building. Guys are out there with their rakes and shovels. And I said, well, you know, fellas, when the resurrection comes, you won't have to do this anymore. And one of them said, oh, wait a minute, Pastor. You don't mean to say there's going to be bodies coming right up out of the ground, do you? That's going to make an awful mess. We can't have none of that. I've always wondered whether church council passed a resolution to prohibit the resurrection. Yeah. That kind of thinking hasn't ended. Our story today shows the problem of being too limited when we choose to live by the law. The Sadducees love their rules. The cemetery committee, they like theirs too. We all love our rules and laws because they give us a feeling of control and a sense of power, that we have some say over our destiny. And you know what? As long as everything is going our way, it works. But times come when they don't. And the laws limit and convict us. So most of us enter those times in life when we have a choice of sticking to our laws and rules and expectations, or we can forgive. Now, sticking to our rules might be right on paper, but they lead to death. Death of love, death of relationships, death of hope. The only way out is forgiveness and grace. So the choice becomes to let go of the pain and the heartbreak or to hang on to it. Clinging to our rules and laws is really a cover for fear. Fear that we might not be good enough. Fear that God might not keep his promises. Fear that we might somehow mess up so badly that God will stop loving us and will punish us. That's not faith. That's fear. It's the difference between law and gospel. Law can only convict us. Gospel sets us free. Now, those of you who know me well can imagine that I've been around one or two hunting dogs in my life. And when I'm around other people's dogs, you can notice exactly how that dog was trained. Dogs that are trained with punishment are always afraid. And when they walk, their ears are back, their tail's down, and they're looking at their human out of the corner of their eye, not sure if they're going to get lit up or yelled at. Now, these are perfect dogs. They always make the retrieve. They always run a straight line, but they're afraid. Then there's dogs that are trained with reward. Everything is their favorite. Their ears are up, their tails are up. Oh, boy, I get to be with a human. And I get to find birds and, oh, run through the grass. Okay. They're not perfect. They don't always run straight lines, but they are happy. Now, we're not dogs. We are God's people. We are God's children. What is the gospel for you? What is good news? Well, here it is. It is not all about you, but it is all for you. This is not just a semantic difference. It's the difference between who does what for whom. We don't need to go searching for God. God comes looking for us. But we're not dogs. We are God's children, so we get more than good boy and a milk bone. We get God's promise. In Christ, God sets us free from worry and fear about whether we're good enough and if we've done all the right things. Because that doesn't matter. We've already been saved in Christ. It's not all about you, but it's all for you. So, what are we going to do with it? If we don't need to worry about following all the rules just the right way, if God has already set us free from fear of being caught and punished for every little thing we do wrong, what are we going to do with all that time and energy? Well, how about living for justice? We start with mercy. We've been forgiven, so how should we treat others? Forgive them. We don't judge others, but we seek to understand them. In our deeply divided times, this is particularly important because it has become so common to immediately attack the character of those we disagree with, calling them names and dehumanizing them. If you think that doesn't happen, just turn on your TV. When those times come, don't take the bait. The low road is crowded. The high road has a lot less traffic. Respond without judgment. Respond with grace. Being set free changes us. But you know, that can feel kind of weird to be free because suddenly we need to think for ourselves. Choices and decisions aren't made for us anymore. It can be disorienting, sometimes even leading us back into wanting more structure and restrictions. Just a few months after escaping 400 years of slavery in Egypt, 400 years, just a few months after that, God's people are following Moses through the wilderness, and they start whining to Moses about how hard life is being free. And they said, Moses, we want to go back. We want to go back to Egypt. And Moses said, what? You were slaves there. You want to go back? They beat you. They killed your sons once a generation. Have you forgotten? And they said, yeah, well, it was hard, but we had water and we had melons to eat. There's nothing here but sand. When we are set free, it is so easy to forget the bad parts about the slavery of rules and laws. But rules and laws only convict. They do not set us free. Now, while the Sadducees raised questions about the resurrection, even though that was intended to be a distraction, Jesus thought it was still important to respond to it. So what will the resurrection be like? Well, truth is, we don't know for sure. But what we do know is that it is not limited by our rules and laws. It is not limited by our understanding and our ideas and our ability to comprehend something beyond our own experience. Jesus promises us resurrection in some way that is new and fresh and free. And part of the good news is we don't need to understand it. We don't need to have it all figured out. God is the God of the living. because there is no death. Oh, yeah, our bodies die. But we don't. We have already been set free. We don't earn God's love. We already have it. We don't need anything else. Jesus doesn't just promise us heaven when we die. He came to bring heaven on earth now, today, and calls us to be partners with Him in making it real, living to love others, living not just for today or for ourselves, but living in love now and forever. May you enjoy your freedom. May you feel the joy that comes with being set free.